Today is the scheduled referendum in Crimea, and the choices are whether they want to remain a part of Ukraine, or they want to be independent, or they would want to be a part of Russia. With the majority of Crimean citizens being ethnic Russian, the result is almost predictable. And so Western nations are rejecting it, but Russia, understandably, is pushing for it, believing it would be to her favor. Well, we can only hope that this would find diplomatic solution and not erode into a shooting war. Well, the Christian life is full of these moments of referendum. Ang buhay Kristiyano ay para ding tayong inilalagay malimit sa referendum kung saan kinakailangan tayong pumanig, gumawa ng posisyon. We have choices to make and to take sides. And we have one such case in the story behind the writing of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We have seen that the church is divided in their response to a severe letter of the Apostle Paul after a falling out between them. There is a side, especially from the leadership, which remained adamant and resistant to the authority of Paul. And there is that latter section of the letter to the second letter to the Corinthians addressed to them, chapters 10 to 13. And you remember that this was part of our series some 2 years ago, which we entitled Nature of the Mature. But what about the greater majority of the church who repented and wanted restoration with Paul? Kaya ito ang dalawang panig sa iglesia, may mga matigas ang ulo at naghihimagsik laban sa kay Apostol Pablo, at tiningnan natin ang mga salita ni Pablo sa kanila. Ngunit paano yung bahagi, mas nakararami, ang nagsisi at nagnanais na magkaroon ng panunumbalik ng kaugnayan kay Apostol Pablo? Well, this is our present series which we already began this month. After all the abuse Paul received from the Corinthians, where does he draw the courage to be ready to restore? We will find the same question dogging us in times when we feel hurt and abused ourselves. And we saw in the very opening of Paul's letter, in his doxology, that this was a man in the posture of worship. And when a man is in the posture of worship, he would be willing, ready, and courageous enough to restore. And we learned that Paul has a view of Christian affliction, a view of Christian suffering that only a Christian can take. The believer's affliction is a share in Christ's sufferings with guaranteed comfort from God. And if we have that view of our suffering as believers, we will be ready, like the Apostle Paul, to continue to exercise worship directed to God and exercise fellowship between the saints. Ito ang nakita natin sa nakaraan. At this time, let us take a look as we go a step further in Paul's opening. Turn your Bibles once again to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 8 to verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now here Paul is making reference to a terrible affliction without describing the exact details of what it was, but its effect on Paul, according to him, was to despair of life. Parang nawala na siyang pag-asang mabuhay dahil sa kabigatang ito na kanyang dinaranas. He did not think that he would survive the ordeal, and in the list that he would later catalog in chapter 6, it could be any of those that he mentioned, such as shipwreck or illnesses and many other things that could have been life-threatening to the Apostle Paul. But then for Paul, the what of the affliction is less important than the why. Kung ano ang Kabigatang ito ay hindi kasinghalaga sa kung bakit. Bakit pinahintulot? And we may have that same perspective as well of our affliction. Sometimes we look so much on the what of our affliction and we forget that there is a why. And Apostle Paul sees the why of his affliction. And this is my message. The afflictions of believers are designed to mold reliance upon God. Ang mga kapighatian ng mga mananampalataya ay inayos ng Diyos upang hubugin na tayo ay umasa lamang sa Kanya. The afflictions of believers are designed to mold reliance upon God. Now in this brief passage that we have begun already this month, we are seeing a package full of reasons for the believer's sufferings. In the last two messages, our afflictions reveal the God of comfort for our own ministry, for our own blessing, and for our own ministry of comfort to others. But now in this passage that we read, Paul takes a step further. As afflictions not only give us the right attitude to others, now he speaks of our attitude to God. Hindi lang yung saloobin natin sa iba na handa tayo magministeryo sa kanila, handa nating ipanumbalik ang anumang nasirang pakikipag-ugnayan sa kanila. Sa nakita ni Apostol Pablo, ang isang dahilan din ng mga kabigatan, kapighatian ay upang ayusin ang ating saloobin sa Diyos, our attitude to God. And what is that attitude to God? He speaks of reliance upon God. And when we develop this reliance upon God, it will enable us again to do two things that Apostle Paul exemplifies here. Those two things are first, orienting from oneself to God. Pag-uukol mula sa sarili tungo sa Diyos, orienting from oneself to God, and secondly, requesting the brethren for help. Nakikiusap sa kapatiran ng pagtulong. Now that second point will be our sequel to this message, God willing, next week. For this day, I want us to focus on this thing that Paul could do because of afflictions, orienting from oneself to God. Inuukol mula sa sarili tungo sa Diyos. Paul sees in his afflictions an orienting purpose, leading to a direction that is not natural to man. And we too must see this orienting purpose in our afflictions from the ministry of comfort he was speaking about. And we saw last week, in the last 2 weeks, what about your attitude to God? And two things I want to draw from this. First, reliance on oneself as contrary. Reliance on oneself as contrary. Ang umaasa sa sarili ay kasalungat. And the promises of God as guarantee. Ang mga pangako ng Diyos bilang katiyakan. The promises of God as guarantee. The first thing then, if we will have this attitude of reliance on God, we must see that reliance on oneself is contrary to that. Paul's thrust on reliance upon God comes from a negative direction. He said, all these things are happening to us in order that we should not rely on ourselves, but on God. In other words, between the affliction and the desired result, which is reliance on God, there is this thing that comes between. If you cannot skip that, or if you cannot overcome that, you will not come to the point of real reliance on God. And what is that in between affliction and reliance on God? Reliance on self. The most serious hindrance to reliance on God is reliance on oneself. Now, if you are like me, you had probably been raised by your parents in the belief that self-reliance is a virtue. And I believe that it is a virtue. That is in contrast with a parasite lifestyle of always depending on what others can give or help. Mabuti ang umasa rin sa sarili, sa mga bagay na ibinibigay na trabaho sa atin, sa halip na ipagawa lamang sa iba, kung kaya natin gawin at tayo ang may responsibilidad, gawin natin. And that is the virtuous self-reliance that I mean. We need to be responsible for our own duties, our own necessities, not forever dependent on others. But in the way that Paul uses the word he has chosen for reliance, he has in mind something absolute, something that extends to eternity. He uses that same word, for example, later on in this same letter in chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. And the word confident here is the same word that he used for reliance. In other words, he is talking of that which has something to do with what God will do, with what eternity is. And on that point, the only one to rely upon is God and not on yourself. Claiming self-sufficiency is sinful reliance, sinful self-reliance. To rely on God is to confess that sufficiency is from God. And let me warn you, self-sufficiency at its most perilous is sufficiency on the matter of salvation. Ang kasapatan sa sarili ay pinaka-peligroso sa usapin ng kaligtasan. Kapag sa palagay mo, sapat ang iyong ginagawa, sapat ang iyong moralidad, sapat ang iyong reliyon, o ano pa man ang inaakala mong sapat sa iyo para katanggapin ng Diyos, nagkakamali ka. Kung diyan ka aasa, wala kang kaligtasan, sapagkat ang kaligtasan ay tanging ang Diyos ang may kasapatan na kanyang ginawa sa pamamagitan ni Yesu Kristo. Self-sufficiency in the matter of salvation will visit you to eternity. But for those of us who have learned to reject self-sufficiency in the matter of salvation, we will continue to struggle with that in other areas of the Christian life. It is that which will hinder the attitude of self-reliance. This is especially the case in the matter of vocation and ministry. Sa ating mga trabaho, mga panawagan, ay maaring umiral sa atin ang pag-asa lamang sa sarili. Ang may kumpiyansa lamang sa sarili. In vocation, we are dealing with something in which we have invested years of study and work. We are experts in this. And we can take the attitude, of course, I know what I am doing. I am successful in what I am doing. I am well tested. And that is self-reliance that challenges reliance on God. In ministry, it can even be more subtle. You may think the Lord has gifted me for what I am doing in ministry, whether that is parenting children, teaching children, writing articles, preaching the Word of God, leading a Bible study. It can come to a point where the spirit is self-reliant rather than relying upon God. And that is not how we are made by grace. We are made by grace so that our sufficiency will come from God. Now, animals are born for survival. You know, a horse, on the day it is born, will walk. Eh, hindi naman tayo ganoon. Why? Because we are made for reliance on others. We need to rely on parents. We need to rely on others. Now, when we are born again, we are not made for survival. We are made for reliance upon God. And when we fail to do that, that's when afflictions come to teach us that, to mold reliance upon God. So respond to your affliction by mortifying every form of self-reliance. This is how Paul explains that terrible suffering that made him despair of his own life. He says, "Not so as not to rely on ourselves, but on God." One thing that afflictions effectively remove from the afflicted when he responds rightly is the illusion that he is in control. Yan ang inaalis ng mga paghihirap natin na pinagtitiisan, ipinapaalam sa atin na wala sa iyo ang control. That's one lesson that we need to learn. During periods when things seem to be going so well for us, whether career, ministry, health, and other things, it gives the intoxicating sense of being in control. And God sends affliction to remind us, no, we are not in control. Anything can just happen, permitted by God, and things go haywire as far as career or health or ministry is concerned. So from God being in control, God teaches us that He has authority. And what afflictions do when we learn self-reliance is submission. Submit to God. Offer yourself to God. Whatever it is, God intends by His affliction, the affliction He permitted to do to your life, offer yourself to God to finish His work of affliction. So affliction is that intention of bringing you, perhaps even dragging you back to the word of authority. That God is in control, God has authority, and God has sufficiency. This is reliance on God, not on self. Probably your life, as it revolves on your career, on your study, on your work, on your business, or whatever it is that is occupying you, perhaps your thoughts are too full of thoughts of men, too full of matters for the temporary, the physical, the vocational. And you are forgetting the God on whom your life should be reliant. And that is the purpose of afflictions that come to our lives, so that we do not rely upon ourselves but upon God. So reliance on oneself is always contrary. And one life that is not so well known, but you will never read the history of Christianity in India without encountering the name of Pandita Ramabai. She died in 1922, a life full of affliction, yet she offered herself to the ministry of her compatriots. One thing that stood out of the life and ministry of Pandita Ramabai, besides being a gospel pioneer, a translator of scripture and other things, she reached out to the lower caste, and in the Indian society of that period, that was something you don't do, not to the untouchables anyway. Untouchables, in fact, are often misperceived by people outside India as the lowest class. As a matter of fact, the untouchables have no class at all. They're not just lowest class, they are deemed as having no class among humanity. And Pandita Ramabai reached out to them in full reliance upon God to work in them. And that is something that God may be calling us to do, to rely upon Him. And anything contrary of self-reliance, mortify it, remove it. That's what affliction is teaching us to do. But secondly, promises of God as a guarantee. How did Paul respond to the afflictions? He says that was to make us rely not on ourselves but on God. And what he attaches is this complete promise from God who raises the dead. Now, instantly we may think that he is here teaching about the resurrection. No, there is something here about the resurrection. But what Apostle Paul is doing is something, in fact, to challenge us. The heaviness that Paul carried at this point, remember, made him despair of his life. In fact, it felt like, in his words, he received a death sentence. He was facing death stark in the face. And what did he put forward to address that threat, address that affliction? The only promise that can address the threat of death, that's the resurrection. But he is exemplifying here something that you and I should learn to do. There is a divine promise that fits every predicament of the believer, calling for reliance upon God. Nag-isip si Pablo dito ng pangako na itatapat niya sa peligro na hinaharap niya, kamatayan. Para daw siyang nasintensyahan ng kamatayan nang dahil sa kanyang bigat na dinadala. At ang ipinangharap niya, ang ipinangtapat niya sa kanyang kabigatan ay ang tanging makatatapat sa peligro ng kamatayan, pagkabuhay na muli. But the point is, whatever your predicament, there is a fit promise that answers that predicament. For the most serious predicament of condemnation in sin, there are plenty of gospel promises. And for the life of me, I don't understand, perhaps because this is part of man's depravity, with all those gospel promises, people who hear the gospel preached again and again will go on in their lives as though being condemned, being under God's wrath is no big deal. Well, it is a big deal, my friend. Whatever it is you are relishing in your career, whatever it is you are enjoying in your life, if you are not in Christ, you are under the cloud of God's condemnation. And gospel promises are aplenty for you to come to Christ. But then for us believers, we too are surrounded by many promises. And this is when your investment in the study of the Word, hearing attentively the preaching and teaching of God's Word, will pay dividends. You may seek help, consult references, seek counsel from counselors who will apply the Word, but rest assured in the conviction that there is no trouble that you will go through this life, in this earthly life, that no promise applies. Manalig ka na hindi ka susuong sa anumang kabigatan sa buhay sa mundo na walang nauukol na pangako. Mayaman ang mga pangako ng Diyos. But do not force the promise. A sick man may force the Word to yield the promise of healing, and there is no such promise. Instead, for Paul's thorn in the flesh, the promise he held to is, "My grace is sufficient for you." A poor man may force a promise of wealth, and there is none. Instead, the promise is, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." Don't force the promise. But then where the promise exists, why would you go on in life without applying that promise that fits your situation? What is your predicament or trouble? And I can guarantee you, there is a promise that fits it if only you will rely on it. Anong pinagdaraanan mo ngayon na kabigatan, kaguluhan? Ginagaranti ako sa iyo na may pangako na maitatapat sa kaguluhang iyan. We are like, again, to use the Pilgrim's Progress. You may be familiar with that scene in which Christian and Faithful were caught by giant despair and they were imprisoned in his castle and they didn't know what to do until Christian remembered that he had the key of promise that is able to open every shut gate and door. That's what the Puritans thought of the promises of God. What seemed to be a giant despair, the promise of God is fit to it. So let your afflictions remind you to live in reliance upon the fit promises of God. And one thing that I notice as a wide reader of Christian literature, it is the Puritans who excelled in emphasizing the need to use the promises of God. Very rarely do I read of literature in the present period that challenge us to use the promises of God. In fact, one astute observer puts it, the Puritans prayed for and claimed the promises of God. Today's generation of Christians pray for and claim God's enabling. Now, don't get me wrong. It is right to pray for God's enabling. But simply praying for God's enabling simply means you already have all your work planned out and you only need God to enable you. And at the root of it is still self-reliance. The Puritans not only prayed for enabling, but first and foremost for them is they prayed for God's promises and they claimed God's promises. They started with the Word. They didn't simply plan out what to do and have God endorse it, they thought of the promises of God. And I'm asking you, do you think of, do you meditate upon the promises of God in relation to something that you are facing in your life now? What afflictions do is remind us of those promises of God that are just there for our reliance, for our trust. Listen to 2 Peter 1 verse 4 concerning the promises of God. He has granted to us His precious and very great promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Ang sabi ni Pedro tungkol sa mga pangako ng Diyos, precious and great. God's promises are not cheap. God's promises are not few. They are precious and they are great. And pity such life that is living through the day while the promises are waiting for their picking by faith. They just live their life and probably choking on broken promises of frail men when they have the stable and certain promises of God in their lives. And Paul has much to say about the promises of God in 2 Corinthians. In 7:1, he says, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." So promises are practical for holy and godly living. I have no doubt that one reason for Paul's attitude of readiness to restore and not to live in bitterness from the abuse he received is because he lived in the promises of God. Not only did he have this practical idea of God's promises, he has a theology of promises. In chapter 1, verse 20, he says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." In other words, the promises are true. Again, he brings them back to what Christ has done. When Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, it is like evoking in the hearts of true believers that loud amen, that because Christ died, Christ rose again, all the promises of God are signed by Him as approved. And pity the life, as I have said, that fails to use these promises. So renew, brethren, and persevere, living in a life that is reliant upon the promises of God. And whatever the affliction, whatever it is you are going through, you can guarantee that there is a promise that applies to it that would render you still someone that God will use even amidst affliction. For many years, Reformed Baptists in the world were interconnected together by one man, Johnny Farise. You can visit his website, farise.com. You want a list of churches of Reformed Baptists around the world, he has that list. The remarkable thing is that Johnny Farise suffered from muscular atrophy since childhood that rendered him bedridden, paralyzed from the neck down. But rather than complain about life, he put himself to the service of the world. His ministry was truly global just by being at his computer. He was not supposed to live long. His disease, according to diagnosis, should make him live only up to 8 years old. Well, last Monday, we all of us, hundreds of us who subscribe to his e-group, received this short email, "Dear Johnny has crossed the river and trumpets have sounded on the other side." He died last Sunday afternoon. A man who has been an example and model to us that no matter the gravity of your affliction, if you see the promises of God that apply, you can live a useful life. None of us has the affliction that saddled Johnny Farise, but he was a man who served his God And that is the kind of call that the reliance upon God will do to us, no matter the affliction. It is of the highest moment every day of living to make sure that we rely on God, not on ourselves, rely on the promises of God. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, tunay nga na ipinapakita ni Apostol Pablo sa mga salita niya ang mabuting halimbawa ng pag-asa lamang sa iyo. At ito ay humahamon sa amin, lalo't sa panahon ng mga kapigatian, panahon ng mga kabigatan, naway matutunan namin dito na ang isang hadlang sa lubos na pagtitiwala at pag-asa sa aming Diyos ay ang pagtitiwala at pag-asa sa sarili. At nagdadala ka ng mga kapigatian at kabigatan upang turuan kami na umasa lamang sa iyo. Wala sa amin ang control, wala sa amin ang autoridad, at ipinapaalala ng mga kabigatan namin na ang autoridad ay nasa iyo, ang control ay nasa iyo. Kaya nga tulungan mo kami na hamunin ang bawat pag-asa namin sa aming sarili. May we learn to challenge, to mortify every form of self-reliance that we let go on in our attitude, and help us to learn from our afflictions that lesson that we are not to be intoxicated by any sense of control. The control is yours and the authority is yours. And help us, Lord, to submit to that control and to that authority. But on the other hand, you have granted us promises. And there is a promise that fits every predicament. For Paul, as he faced the stark threat of death, he could only invoke the one promise that answers to that. And that is your promise of resurrection. But for us, in whatever peril we are in, we learn this lesson that there are promises that fit our predicament, that fit our affliction. And may we find it a miserable life indeed to have all these promises which Peter said are precious and great. They are not cheap. They are not few. And yet we go on many times, day by day, with nothing to impel us from your promises. Help us, Lord, to learn to think about, to meditate upon, and to make use and claim your promises that fit our circumstances. And when we do, now, no matter that we are under affliction, no matter that our present circumstances are heavy, we can, like the Apostle Paul, continue to be of service to you and continue to rely on your promises. And may we see the amen to those promises to be guaranteed in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying on the cross, rising from the dead for sinners. We pray for those who hear may have heard many gospel promises and they still go on under the peril of your condemnation and wrath when there is a promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. Speak to them powerfully and grant that we as your people may live out a life of reliance upon your promises. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.